Pro-Life to the Max is produced and broadcast by WOMB 89.9 FM Catholic Radio in Bloomington, Indiana.
Ave Maria, welcome to Pro-Life to the Max, a weekly half-hour radio program under the patronage of St. Maximilian Mary Kolbe that is dedicated to keeping you informed on local, state, and national pro-life issues and efforts and inspiring you to get involved. I'm Monica Siefker, your host for the program. So blessed and happy to be here with you today. Thanks so much for joining me. Well, the month of July is traditionally dedicated to the most precious blood of Jesus. Holy Mother Church calls us now in this month and in a special way to renew and deepen our love and devotion to that blood which was poured out for the many for the forgiveness of sins. The late and great Father John Harden said that every devotion has three elements. Veneration, that is, treating someone or something with the utmost respect and reverence. Invocation, calling upon someone or something for assistance. And imitation, which means following or taking as a model something or someone. So in order to grow in our love and devotion to the most precious blood of Jesus, it's imperative that we study more about it and contemplate the mysteries that lie within it. Doing so will help us increase the veneration, invocation, and imitation that we have for the precious blood. And if ever there was a time when devotion to the most precious blood should be a top priority, it is in this hour. Father Harden said that devotion to the precious blood is not a spiritual option, but a spiritual obligation for every follower of Christ. Father Harden also said that he really believed that one of the symptoms of modern society and its growing, gnawing secularism could be attributed to the lessening and weakening of devotion to the most precious blood. Sadly, he added, this is even the case within the church. Think about the first fratricide, the very first shedding of innocent human blood, when Cain slew his brother Abel, and the latter's blood soaked into the earth, crying out to heaven for retribution. Well, heaven answered when God himself took on human nature and allowed himself to be slain on Calvary, his blood soaking into the thirsty earth, making reparation and crying out not for vengeance, but for the redemption of mankind. Today, we have the innocent blood of billions of unborn human lives who have been slaughtered in the womb, crying out for justice. And it is only through Christ's sacred blood that this Holocaust can end and the great sin of abortion be made up for. But in order to more quickly effect these things, we have our small part to play. And that means increasing our veneration, invocation, and imitation of the most precious blood of Jesus. That's the subject for today's program. And to this end, we're going to talk about the great apostle of devotion to the most precious blood, St. Gaspar. Before we get to all of that, though, we'll pray together and offer the precious blood of Jesus to the Eternal Father to make amends for all of the evil and the innocent blood that is shed in our country by abortion. And as a quick little side note, Almighty God once revealed to the Carmelite nun, St. Mary Magdalene de Pazzi, that so little effort is made in the world to disarm his divine justice against sinners. So St. Mary Magdalene made it a daily practice of hers to frequently offer the precious blood of Jesus to the Father. She did this with so much fervor that God showed her on different occasions the numerous souls who were thereby converted, and how by the offering, the hand of justice had been held back. So with this same love and zeal, let's offer together a short prayer of reparation, presenting the merits of the precious blood of Jesus to God the Father. Eternal Father, we offer you the most precious blood of your Son, Jesus Christ, our Savior and our God. We offer it on behalf of Holy Mother Church, every priest and religious, every baptized Catholic, for their spiritual and physical well-being. We offer the precious blood of Jesus for the conversion of all unbelievers, all heretics, all sinners, for all those who are in danger of going to hell. Eternal Father, we offer you the merits of the most precious blood in reparation for the innocent blood of the unborn that has been shed in our country, and especially right here in our own community of Bloomington. Father, forgive us, for we know not what we do. Here we beseech you, O Heavenly Father, that cry of mercy that calls out from the blood of your Son. May our community be covered in his precious blood so that the slaughter of the innocents will at long last be ended. May his sacred blood obtain the conversion and repentance of all who have worked, volunteered, or patronized the Bloomington Planned Parenthood. It is with confidence that we ask big and great things from you, dear Heavenly Father, because what we offer to you has an exceedingly great price and value. Blessed and praised be Jesus forevermore, who has saved us with his blood. Glory be to the blood of Jesus, now and forevermore. Amen. And let's go now to this week's In the News. This past Tuesday, July 13th, the U.S. House Appropriations Committee approved the fiscal year 2021 Labor, Health and Human Services, Education, and Related Agencies Bill on a 30-22 vote. The legislation includes $196.5 billion in overall funding for the said departments, an increase of $2.4 billion over last year. Unlike past years, the funding bill did not include the 44-year-old Hyde Amendment, nor other longstanding bipartisan provisions like the Weldon Amendment. Eliminating these clauses forces taxpayers to foot the bill for elective abortions and forces healthcare providers and professionals to perform or refer for abortion against their conscience. In a joint statement released by Cardinal Timothy Dolan, chairman of the USCCB's Committee for Religious Liberty, and Archbishop Joseph Nauman, chairman of the Bishop's Committee on Pro-Life Activities, the prelates bemoaned the move, stating, "This is the most extreme pro-abortion appropriations bill that we have seen, effectively mandating healthcare professionals to participate in abortion and forcing American citizens to pay for abortion with their tax dollars. Abortion is not health care nor a human service to anyone. Rather, abortion is inhumane. It is a painful death to an innocent baby and often leaves women physically harmed and emotionally devastated. We ask all Catholics and all people of goodwill to contact their legislators and make their voices heard. The lives of millions of vulnerable children and the well-being of their mothers depend on our advocacy," the bishop stated. And Indiana Right to Life has been busy detailing the multiple provisions of Pro-Life House Bill 1577 that went into effect in the state on July 1st. Although Indiana's new abortion pill reversal law was blocked, many other clauses in the legislation were not. HB 1577 requires that women considering an abortion be given a photo of their baby's ultrasound at least 18 hours before an abortion. A copy of the image must also be placed in her files so that state inspectors can ensure that ultrasounds are being performed. HB 1577 also prevents mental health workers from being forced to provide counseling for abortions, and it bans the use of telemedicine for abortion counseling. During the COVID-19 pandemic, Planned Parenthood had announced that it would be pushing its telemedicine platform in all 50 states. HB 1577 prevents this from happening here in Indiana. The pro-life legislation also removes the tie between Indiana law and Food and Drug Administration regulations on chemical abortions. This was done so that should the FDA permit the abortion pill to be sold over the counter, Indiana will maintain independence in ensuring the drugs are properly regulated and lives protected. House Bill 1577 was authored by Representative Peggy Mayfield from Martinsville. Peggy and her husband Dean have four sons and attend St. Martin of Tours Catholic Church. Indiana Right to Life noted how the passage of House Bill 1577 is a reminder of the importance of electing pro-life legislators to office. And finally, no abortions were performed this past week at the Bloomington Planned Parenthood, thanks be to God. Several new workers have been hired on, and foot traffic has subsequently picked up a bit over past weeks. Please continue to pray for a change of heart for all who work, volunteer, and patronize the abortion facility. And that's your weekly In the News. Beginning in paragraph number 25 of his encyclical, The Gospel of Life, Pope St. John II had some penetrating insights into the connection between the precious blood of Christ and a culture of death. He writes, "The voice of your brother's blood is crying to me from the ground. It is not only the voice of the blood of Abel, the first innocent man to be murdered, which cries to God, the source and defender of life. The blood of every other human being who has been killed since Abel is also a voice raised to the Lord. In an absolutely singular way, as the author of the letter to the Hebrews reminds us, the voice of the blood of Christ, of whom Abel in his innocence is a prophetic figure, cries out to God, 'You have come to Mount Zion and to to the city of the living God, to the mediator of a new covenant, and to the sprinkled blood that speaks more graciously than the blood of Abel. It is the sprinkled blood. A symbol and prophetic sign of it had been the blood of the sacrifices of the old covenant, whereby God expressed his will to communicate his own life to men, purifying and consecrating them. Now all of this is fulfilled and comes true in Christ. His is the sprinkled blood which redeems, purifies, and saves. It is the blood of the mediator of the new covenant, poured out for many for the forgiveness of sins. This blood, which flows from the pierced side of Christ on the cross, speaks more graciously than the blood of Abel. Indeed, it expresses and requires a more radical justice. And above all, it implores mercy. It makes intercession for the brethren before the Father. And it is the source of perfect redemption and the gift of new life. Continuing on, the late Pope says, "The blood of Christ, while it reveals the grandeur of the Father's love, shows how precious man is in God's eyes and how priceless the value of his life. The Apostle Peter reminds us of this. You know that you were ransomed from the futile ways inherited from your fathers, not with perishable things such as silver or gold, but with the precious blood of Christ, like that of a lamb without blemish or spot." Precisely by contemplating the precious blood of Christ, the sign of his self-giving love, the believer learns to recognize and appreciate the almost divine dignity of every human being and can exclaim with ever-renewed and grateful wonder, how precious must man be in the eyes of the Creator if he gains so great a Redeemer, and if God gave his only Son in order that man should not perish but have eternal life. Furthermore, the pontiff writes, "Christ's blood reveals to man that his greatness, and therefore his vocation, consists in the sincere gift of self. Precisely because it is poured out as the gift of life, the blood of Christ is no longer a sign of death, of definitive separation from the brethren, but the instrument of a communion which is richness of life for all. Whoever in the sacrament of the Eucharist drinks this blood and abides in Jesus is drawn into the dynamism of his love and gift of life in order to bring to its fullness the original vocation to love which belongs to everyone. It is from the blood of Christ that all draw the strength to commit themselves to promoting life. It is precisely this blood that is the most powerful source of hope. Indeed, it is the foundation of the absolute certitude that in God's plan, life will be victorious, and death shall be no more," exclaims the powerful voice which comes from the throne of God in the heavenly Jerusalem. And St. Paul assures us that the present victory over sin is a sign and anticipation of the definitive victory over death, when there shall come to pass the saying that is written, "Death is swallowed up in victory. O death, where is your victory? O death, where is your sting?" Lots to ponder there from paragraph 25 in Pope St. John Paul II's The Gospel of Life. In every age and time, God has raised up saints who have contemplated what the shedding of Christ's blood means, and it has led them to see that since the God-man made a complete and sincere gift of self with the shedding of every last drop of his innocent blood, the only fitting response from someone who wishes to be his follower is to do the same, to make that complete gift of self in return. And that means not only giving oneself completely to God, but also to neighbor. Because as John Paul II pointed out, when we meditate upon the precious blood of Christ, we begin to recognize and appreciate the what he calls almost divine dignity of every single human being. Just these couple of ideas here are more than enough to keep us sufficiently motivated to do our part to help end abortion and build up a culture of life and purity. Well, there was a saint back in the early 19th century who had evils aplenty in his own day to contend with too, namely the rise of despotism and hedonism with the French Revolution and the ascent of Napoleon Bonaparte. This saint was named Gaspar, and he was born in Rome in 1786. 1986, and it was on the final day of the month dedicated to the Most Precious Blood that Gaspar was ordained to the Holy Priesthood on July 31st, 1808. St. Gaspar was greatly encouraged and assisted in the early years of his priesthood by another holy priest named Canon Francisco Albertini. Father Albertini was the curate for the Basilica of St. Nicola in Rome, and he had a great love and devotion to the Precious Blood, which he shared with Father Gaspar. Within the Basilica of St. Nicola was preserved a relic of the Sacred Blood of Christ on a piece of cloth. The two priests sought to stir up fervent devotion to the Precious Blood, and to that end, they founded the Confraternity of the Most Precious Blood. But their crusade to solidly establish the confraternity was put on hold for many years because of Napoleon Bonaparte. In June of 1809, Bonaparte, seeking to expand his empire, annexed the Papal States and Rome itself to his empire. Excommunication of Bonaparte quickly followed. But instead of bringing the tyrant to repentance, Bonaparte, who was more of a deist than a true Catholic, seized the Holy Father and then demanded from every clergyman an oath of loyalty to himself. Gaspar, of course, refused, heroically stating, "I would rather die or suffer any evil than take such an oath. I cannot, I will not, I must not." Gaspar was promptly exiled from Rome to a city about 250 miles north. There, the harsh and damp weather nearly brought Father Gaspar, who had always suffered from poor health, even in the most ideal climates, to his death. Gaspar received Holy Viaticum and Extreme Unction and prepared himself for death. But Father Albertini, who was with him, was moved to reveal a prophecy that he had kept hidden in his heart, an augury he had received from a certain holy nun named Sister Mary Agnes of the Incarnate Word. Years before, Sister Mary Agnes had spoken to Father Albertini of a young man zealous for the glory of God who in evil times would be under Father Albertini's spiritual direction. The nun said, "This man was destined to become an apostolic missionary. He would found a new congregation of missionary priests under the title of the Divine Blood for the reform of morals and the salvation of souls. He would draw the people from indifference and unbelief and attract all to a love for Christ crucified. In an evil day," the nun foretold, "he would be the trumpet of the Precious Blood and would vanquish sinners and sectaries." Thinking that Gaspar was that priest, those prophetic words fell from the lips of Father Albertini, and immediately Father Gaspar began to regain his health. But Gaspar's suffering was far from finished. The civil authorities began to bear down harder on the exiled priest, demanding that they give Napoleon their allegiance. These priests were tempted by being promised positions of honor and power in the government. And if that didn't work, threats of death often followed. But Father Gaspar remained firm. He was eventually imprisoned in cramped and filthy quarters, given very little to eat, and was constantly harassed and tormented by prison authorities. Finally, Napoleon's hold on Italy broke, and Gaspar and all exiled and imprisoned priests were released. All the hardships that Father Gaspar had endured prepared him mightily for the work that God had planned for him. As gold is tested in fire, St. Gaspar's faith was proven through those trials, and the fruit was most beautiful. He became a well-known and gifted preacher whose flaming words sprang forth from the depths of his heart, which was on fire for love of God and neighbor. Gaspar gained the attention of nearly every clergyman in Rome, including the Holy Father, Pius VII. Who eventually summoned Gaspar and asked him to do missionary work right there in Rome. And it wasn't just any kind of missionary work that the Pope had in mind. Pius VII wanted Father Gaspar to go to those souls who were most in need of God's mercy and conversion, those whom many were tempted to think were simply unreformable or unregenerate because they were doing such wicked deeds. Seeing the voice of the Holy Father as the voice of God himself, Father Gaspar Caspar consented, and he knew that he had the perfect spiritual weapon for the task that was being asked of him, devotion to the most precious blood of Jesus. Father Caspar thus began the work of setting up houses for his newly founded Congregation of the Most Precious Blood. These were set up in some of the shadiest and most iniquitous towns and districts. Caspar trained young clergy as missionaries, and their work eventually covered all of Italy. Father Caspar and his fellow laborers endured much suffering as they preached the gospel message and about how sin exacted a most costly price in the shedding of the innocent blood of Jesus Christ. Among many of his works, St. Caspar opened a night oratory where men could come under the cover of darkness to repent of their sins and go to confession. One of Caspar's greatest successes came with his work among the banditti of the Papal States, where through the power of devotion to the Most Precious Blood, he helped obtain the conversion of nearly the entire region. Father Caspar's good deeds, however, drew the ire of the enemy of souls and his cohorts, and they incited certain people to slander and make false and defamatory statements against Caspar and his institute. Caspar bore it all like the saint he was, in great humility, defending himself patiently when necessary and excusing those who tried to do him harm. St. Caspar wrote a treatise entitled The Most Precious Blood, Fount of All Spiritual Riches. Adopting the classic systematic spirituality of St. Teresa of Avila and St. John of the Cross, Caspar explained how devotion to the precious blood can be the source of moving a soul along through the three major stages of the mystical life, the purgative, illuminative, and the unitive. Firstly, Caspar said, by meditation on the precious blood, a soul will come to know the horror of her sins and abjure them. She will do penance for them, and in earnest will begin to root out the vices in her life and practice virtue. As the soul advances along, growing in her knowledge and love for the sacred blood of Christ, she comes to the illuminative way, where she, like the deer that yearns for the streams of water, pines for the day to be able to perfectly imitate the virtues that are expressed through the shedding of Christ's blood, namely obedience, humility, resignation to the will of God, and abiding love for God and neighbor. Progressing to the unitive stage, the soul, again still quite under the sanctifying influence of drinking from the chalice of his precious blood, finally arrives to that sacrificial love that is the essence of the heavenly fluid. In the words of St. Caspar himself, it can be described thusly: Jesus has given us his blood even to the last drop. What is there left to do? Jesus is a victim. Behold, I am ready, O my God, to be a victim of love too. I mentioned at the beginning of the program how Father Hardin said that there are three elements to every devotion: veneration, invocation, and imitation. In some small way, these seem to line up with the purgative way too. Because the end goal is to become so much like the one you are venerating and invoking that you become one with that person. And to be one with the blood of Christ necessarily means to be a victim of love. St. Teresa of Avila used the words ot pati ot mori, to suffer or to die, to describe what it means to be a victim of love. A soul who is fully engulfed in the unitive flames of her master's heart cannot help but cry out with those same words. And that's where devotion to the most precious blood led St. Caspar, and where it should lead us. Back on the Feast of the Exaltation of the Holy Cross on Friday, September 14th in 2001, Pope St. John Paul II had some incredibly edifying words for the members of the 17th General Assembly of the Congregation of the Missionaries of the Precious Blood. And these words given by the late pontiff speak well to us in our own little missionary work in spreading the gospel of life. John Paul II exhorted the missionaries of the Precious Blood to be very courageous in following in the footsteps of their founder, St. Caspar. And we should not be afraid to take John Paul II's remarks to the missionaries of the Precious Blood and make them our own. He told them, "With affection in the Lord, I welcome the General Assembly of the Missionaries of the Precious Blood on this Feast of the Triumph of the Cross. How fitting it is that we meet on the day when the whole church sings the glory of the cross of Christ and and rejoices in the power of the blood that flowed from its source in the secret recesses of his heart to give the sacraments of the church power to confer the life of grace. With you, I bow down in adoration of that infinitely precious stream flowing from the wounded side of Christ, and I pray that the General Assembly will seek to endure that the power of his blood will flow still more abundantly through your congregation for the sake of the world's redemption. Your congregation from the beginning understood the import of the Lord's words put out into the deep. The command to Peter seemed to make no sense. He had toiled all night and caught nothing. So too, now the church is asked by Christ to go to places and to people where there seems to be little hope of success, and to do things which seem to make little sense according to conventional logic. The Lord asks us to abandon our own assumptions and to trust instead in his command, for he knows that otherwise we will toil in vain. When St. Gaspar founded your congregation in 1815, he was asked by my predecessor, Pope Pius VII, to go where no one else would go and to undertake missions which seemed unpromising. He was, for instance, asked to send missionaries to evangelize the bandits who so troubled the area between Rome and Naples at that time. Trusting that the Pope's request was Christ's command, your founder did not hesitate to obey. And casting his nets into deep and dangerous waters, he made an astonishing catch. 2 centuries later, another pope summons the sons of St. Gaspar to be no less bold in their decisions and actions, to go where others cannot or will not go, and to undertake missions which seem to hold little hope of success. I ask you to continue your efforts to build a civilization of life, seeking the protection of all human life, from the life of the unborn to the life of the aged and infirm, and promoting the dignity of every human person, especially of the weak and of those deprived of their rightful share of the earth's abundance. The future face of the missionaries of the precious blood must be the face of the crucified Lord who poured out his blood for the life of the world. His certainly is a face of sorrow, for in order to bring man back to the Father's face, Jesus not only had to take on that face of man, but he had to burden himself with the face of sin. Yet most mysteriously, even in the midst of such affliction, Jesus did not cease to know the joy which came from union with his Father. Your mission must spring forth from the depths of contemplation, in which the believer learns to recognize and appreciate the almost divine dignity of every human being, and can exclaim with ever-renewed and grateful wonder, how precious must man be in the eyes of the Creator if he gains so great a Redeemer. It was not by accident that St. Gaspar established your congregation on the solemnity of the Assumption of Our Lady, for he saw in the glory of the Virgin the wondrous fruit of the sacrifice of her Son on the cross. That is why you must look always to the woman clothed with the sun, the moon beneath her feet, and on her head a crown of 12 stars. Entrusting you to the loving care of Mary and to the intercession of your founder, I gladly impart my apostolic blessing to the entire congregation as a pledge of endless mercy in him who has freed us from our sins by his blood. John Paul II there with a beautiful exhortation to the missionaries of the precious blood back in 2001. And as you just heard, he said quite a bit that we can use in our own efforts as little missionaries here in Bloomington, trying to make reparation for the horrific bloodletting that goes on in abortion and casting our own nets out into the deep there at 421 South College Avenue, where it oftentimes looks like there is little to no chance of success. May we be granted the same confidence that St. Gaspar had in the power of the precious blood, so that a culture of life and purity may be built up for the glory of God and the salvation of souls. Thanks so much for joining me. Until next time, let us continue to heed the warning of St. Maximilian Mary Kolbe that the most deadly poison of our time is indifference. Let's pray for one another that we may be consumed with a desire to save lives and souls, to give the greatest possible honor and glory to God. Ave Maria.
Thank you for listening to Pro-Life to the Max, a production of WOMB Catholic Radio. To learn more about this program and how you can help us to continue to produce and broadcast this content, visit us online at WOMBradio.com.